Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2 verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome to No Compromise Radio Ministry. Today, I don't think I'm going to try to do the Facebook Live thing. It shows on my end it's working for 30 seconds and then stops. But anyway, thanks for bearing witness with me. Bearing with me. Oh, man. Anyway, if you have a pastor that you think is faithful, he's your pastor, and he's behind the scenes preaching. Well, on Sunday he's not behind the scenes, but he's preaching, and he's out in some like a little rural place someplace, and you'd like to have him interviewed on No Compromise Radio, let me give you my PayPal address. Seriously, email me, mike@nocompromiseradio.com, and then give me the link of your pastor. If I have to, you know, underline Calvary Church and, you know, Woonsocket, Pennsylvania or something, I probably won't do it. I might do it, but I'd like you to do it and say, I've been going to this church for 15 years, pastors preach through the Gospel of John, started in chapter 1 when I got here, he's up to chapter 3 now, and just, you know, We think he's a gift from God because he proclaims the truth. What's it worth to a church to have a man who will preach the whole counsel of God? Sola gratia, sola fide et al. What's it worth? Anyway, what I'd like to do, since I think some of our best shows, when I'm not talking, and I'm talking to some of the pastors across the world. It's harder if you're international because the way I do the call-in is through a regular phone line, and it's probably expensive for the 25-minute call. Anyway, Mike Abendroth, No Compromise Radio Ministry. If you want to write me about something else, mike@nocompromiseradio.com or info. We've also now have a No Compromise Facebook discussion group, and it's by, I think I have to accept you or something like that, or Ben does. So you can go to Facebook. I'm not big on Facebook, but it is a social media platform, and this is social media. Welcome to No Compromise Radio Ministry. We have a little slogan here, and for those of you who are new to the show, the slogan's usually always biblical, always provocative, always in that order. That's what we're about. We talk about Jesus, the one who never compromised, no compromise. We talk about the cross. At the cross, there was no compromise between God's justice and his love. All God's attributes simultaneously could be seen at the death of Christ Jesus. And then in light of that, the first one, Jesus didn't compromise, and at the cross there was no compromise of God's attributes. I don't want to compromise. And if we see compromise, we'll probably call it out. Hopefully first in ourselves and then in others. What else do you need to know about the show? Steve Cooley is the Tuesday guy. We have the NoCo mascot. Her name's Jetty. We have NoCo Jr. sometimes on the show. And what else do we have around here? Henno. What does henno mean? Henno means this. It means if something's weird and you say hello, I say henno because my grandmother used to answer the phone. Henno. Grandma, don't say henno. Say hello. Well, that's what I say. I say hello. I don't say henno. Okay, Grandma, let me call you right back. You dial up her phone, 553-3836, area code 402. Henno. Grandma, you say henno. I don't say henno. I say hello. So we say henno. It's trademarked, of course. Be careful. You don't want to get sued. And we also say one word, forget you. Forget you. That's our one theological word. Forget you. Those are the insider Gnostic, no compromise radio stuff. People are losing their minds when it comes to race. There's only one race. You're either in Adam or in the last Adam. We're talking federal theology. We're talking about foetus. We're talking about a covenant. We're talking about representation. That's the way you need to think. Is racism a gospel issue? Well, I think the gospel affects how you see other people because you're changed, right? God, along with a lot of other things, he regenerates you and makes you a new creation. And you, in response to the gospel, believe, of course, and then you have a life where you want to love God and love your neighbor. And, of course, your neighbor could be white or black or anything else. It doesn't really matter what they look like. You're to love them. And therefore, the gospel affects things like this. It affects the way you give. It affects the way you are thankful. But it's not a gospel issue in terms of, you could probably read R. Scott Clark's Heidelblog about is race a gospel issue or something like that. And even when you read Philippians, you'll see sometimes there's a gospel issue and sometimes they're not. If you're adding things to the gospel, it's one thing. So more law gospel problems and mix-ups. But I'm not going to do it today because it's just really bugging me when I think about it. And I probably have admitted on the air before that before I was a Christian, I was a racist. And, of course, I know my heart is still tainted by sin now. I have all kinds of problems, lots of problems. But racism isn't one of my problems. Now you say, well, it's a problem for other people. Okay, well, it just might be. But it's not my problem. And just because I'm white, it doesn't mean I've got some hidden reefs of racism in little places, little caverns in my mind and in my conscience and other things like that. It's just crazy. Okay, I'm just going to have to stop. But there are a few sane people on the internet. So I'm thankful for that. There are a few sane ones. Lots of insane ones, but a few sane ones. Okay, we're talking about Jesus, the great high priest. And he adds human nature, right? He's the eternal Son. He adds human nature. It's called the incarnation. It's called the virgin conception, which leads to the virgin birth. And he, if you think about mediators between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, not the Jew, not the Semite, not the darker complexion, not the white, not the black. He's a man. And therefore, he can redeem men by being the mediator between a holy God and unholy men and women like you and me from the same race. It moves me not to think about pigment and how dark your skin is or what particular facial features you have. Frankly, I look like I look because God made me this way, right? He chose my parents. He chose the DNA. He sovereignly orchestrated all that, and whether it's the weather or salvation or anything in between, including my skin color, that's the sovereign choice of God. And if you think about it, I mean, here we are. We're talking about race anyway. I didn't want to do it, but I'm thinking about Jesus, the high priest. You know, I like to enjoy different cultures. It's one of the fun things about going to different places in the world, especially eastern parts of the world, when I'm a Westerner, and just to see how they do things and how they have their particular culture. Well, you can either say, I don't like that, or you embrace it and say, oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. To me, it's the same thing with race. I mean, I'm glad I don't have to eat, you know, Soylent Green every day or dirt every day and just say, well, I'm just hungry. I have to eat it. You know, it's kind of like my dog. Once in a while, I buy her different types of dog food, or I'll pour some gravy on her food. She doesn't really get table food, but she gets the juice of our table food. And I'll pour it on top or something like that. She's old enough now, she'll throw up. She has to eat the same thing. She has no choice. She's so hungry, she has to eat the same thing basically every day. Five different kinds of dog food that I buy over the, you know, over a year. But it's pretty much the same thing. It smells the same, at least to me, from a distance. But she has to eat. She's hungry. And, you know, God has not given us that that kind of deal. We have all, you know, cilantro. Can you imagine? That tastes so good, doesn't it? I could have a cologne with cilantro in it. It smells so good. Man, cilantro. Just chop up a bunch of cilantro and put it on anything almost. Except this nasty Pete's coffee that I've got here through the K-cup. K-cups ruin everything, don't they? Mm. Wow. That's bad. I do have in front of me a Star Trek mug someone gave me. To boldly go where no man has gone before. That's old school, baby. And it's the same thing when it comes to people. I guess if they all look the same, that'd be fine. I mean, God can make whatever he wants in his world. But his world, there's different looking people. I like that, don't you? I don't. Now that I'm a Christian and I see just one Adam, two Adam, that's how you should see the world. One Adam, two Adam. They're either in Adam the first or Adam the last. They're either on the girdle of Adam the first, to use Thomas Goodwin's language, federal headship, Adam in the garden, or they're in the last Adam, Jesus, who, of course, was tempted not in a garden, but in the wilderness, and then all the way to Calvary and never succumbed to the temptation. And he was the perfect man. He was the real prophet. He was the real priest and the real king. And he stands in the stead as a public person for all who believe, just as Adam was a public person. You can even spell it P-U-B-L-I-K if you'd like. P-U-B-L-I-K, public, as they would say in King James English. So why don't you just enjoy it? The people look different. And people have, you know, if I see somebody with freckles, I'm thinking, oh, that's interesting. If I see somebody with a darker complexion skin, well, that's interesting. What do I care? What do I care? Here's what I care about. One day you'll die and stand before God, and then what? And you say, well, you know, what about all the ways my uncles and aunts and grandparents and parents were persecuted? Okay, I'm listening. I'm sorry for that. But I didn't do it. And there's a lot of people in the church that didn't do it. And when Tabiti and Awele, also known as Ron Burns to some, talks about, you know, how white pastors should go do this and that, and how white people and things are complicit with things. I'm supposed to confess my sins, that's true. But I'm not supposed to confess sins I didn't do. So anyway, I'm just going to have to stop because it's very frustrating. But when the church takes its cues from the world, this is what we get. I cannot imagine what will the Gospel Coalition be like in 10 years. I don't want to imagine. I typed in at the Gospel Coalition, I typed in racism. I think there was 800 articles. My wife said, type in justification. I did, and there was, I think, 1,500, 1,800, something like that. A lot more, which I was glad for. But race, 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 race. Very troubling. You need to read Machen's, it's online for free, Christianity and Liberalism. And just see that and try to understand law-gospel distinctions and try to understand what is the gospel and what is the social gospel and are they the same? I think that would be good for you to do. I'd also like to know if George Soros or any person like that who has money and funds places, who gets the funding? Who has, you know, neighborhood immigration places that receive funding for these things? I would like to know that. That'd be good. I mean, nobody owes that to me, but curious minds would like to know. It is a crazy world, and we are seeing what I'm calling on social media the fissure. We are going to have a major split. This divides. You know, people want to have all kinds of unity talk, unity, unity, unity. When you elevate the social gospel to the gospel or eclipse the gospel, which that's what these other gospels end up doing, as people hobnob them, then we're in big trouble. Big trouble. And some of it, I think, can go back to social justice reforms in big cities. That's all I'll say, in my opinion. Now, here's the great news for Hebrews. Jesus was picked by God from men. And we don't have any kind of weird, you know, racial kind of talk or anything else. You need a priest to stand before you and God. And God picks the priest. And he picks the perfect priest. And there's two passages there in Hebrews chapter 5. One is found in verse 5. You are my son, today I have begotten you. God the Father is appointing the Son for this task. And he says also in another place, of course we know that Psalm 110, you are a priest forever according or after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek's going to be talked about later in chapter 7, but for now, we're not going to talk much about Melchizedek. Jesus is a priest. He's just not in the Levitical line. He's a different type of priest that the Jews would have recognized, hearkening back to Genesis with Melchizedek and Abraham. Well, what does this have to do with race? Yeah, that's my question. Do we have a high priest? What does Jesus look like? You know, it's always fascinating me when I think about, what does Jesus look like? Of course, it's a caricature if you go into someone's room and there's a picture of the blue-eyed Jesus. Maybe he did have blue eyes. I guess there are Semitic-looking people with blue eyes. My guess is he didn't have blue eyes. The average height back in those days, we've determined from femur bones and ossuary boxes, would be about 5 foot tall. I guess he could have been taller or shorter, but let's just say 5 foot tall. There's nothing said about Jesus' height like Saul's height, or hair like Absalom's hair, or the complexion of Jesus like David. I think they called him ruddy, didn't they? What is ruddy? Let's just type that in right now. Ruddy. A ruddy complexion. Is that like red? Ruddy. Having a healthy red color. A cheerful, pipe-smoking man of ruddy complexion. Used as a euphemism for bloody, rosy, red, pink, rubicund, make ruddy in color. A red flash ruddied the belly of a cloud. Well, that's interesting. Now I'm going to type in David. Was David ruddy? Was David called red or ruddy? This is a True Nation Israelite congregation website. I'm scared. So let's just go to 1 Samuel 16:12. So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome feature. And the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. That's the NIV of 1 Samuel 16:12. New Living. So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome and beautiful eyes. This is the one. Anoint him, the Lord said. ESV, he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. Okay, that's of David. King James is interesting. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look at, to look to. Contemporary English version, Jesse sent for David. He was healthy, good-looking boy with a sparkle in his eyes. Okay, that's about all we have. I'm just scrolling down to see other ones. Ruddy, beautiful eyes, handsome appearance. That's New American Standard 77. All right, that's 1 Samuel 16:12. So what do we know about Jesus, and what did he look like? I guess you could get a picture of Jesus if you were a black person that made him look blacker. I mean, we probably all do that in our minds. What does somebody look like? But there's a reason why we don't know what Jesus looked like. We're not supposed to know, and God doesn't tell us. Now, we do know that he looked like his mother, right? Because any kind of DNA would be from his mother and the Spirit of God hovering over the womb. And I would imagine he looked more like his mother than Joseph because there was no DNA from Joseph, correct? Correct. So my guess is he looked like his mother. He looked like he was from that area. He didn't stick out in any way, shape, or form, and he wasn't noticed by his, you know, he's super tall, he's a giant, or he was a midget or anything like that. So we just have to think regular and average. That's why I'm thinking around 5 foot. We do know that he had a beard, at least at some time. Sometimes he had a beard because it was plucked out, remember, at the end of his life, according to Isaiah chapter 50 to 53, right in there. What is that? We're going to have to find out, since this has taken a bad turn. There. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. Isaiah 50, verse 6. What else do we know about Jesus? Well, he was a man, and as a man, he was circumcised, right? Because he was circumcised on the eighth day. And what else do we know about Jesus' physical appearance? Or there could be some argument that he looked older than what he was and stuff like that in different passages. But for now, that's all we know. While we could talk about pictures of Jesus and commandments and idols, that's not what I want to talk about at the moment. But what do we know about Jesus? What you know is what you read about as the God-man who makes reconciliation, who makes redemption, who makes propitiation, who lives a perfect life, who heals lepers, who walks on water, who calls Zacchaeus and saves him, who takes Barabbas' place, who dies on a cross, who's raised from the dead. What we aren't is docetist, that is, seems like he was a man, but he really wasn't. No, he was a real man, real dust, real footprints, real face and eyes and skin and all those things, real wounds, real blood, could really eat, really did eat. So we're not docetists, but ask yourself the question, why doesn't it say anything about what Jesus looked like? Well, maybe you're not supposed to know. Maybe it doesn't matter because there's one race. That's why. Adam, last Adam. Adam in the garden failed. Jesus in the wilderness didn't fail. God, the Son, he is our substitute and he is our representative. That's the point. All this race language, social justice language, it detracts from it. It detracts from public person, Adam, public person, last Adam. That's my big problem. Through one man. If you're a man, we're talking about mankind here, then you've got a representative if you look to him with faith, trusting in him, not just knowing about him, but believing, turning from your sins. It's called repentance, believing on the work of Jesus. It's called trust, our faith, rest, Hebrews talks about. What do we care what color the person is? And I'm sure this is going to not work out perfectly, but if you're getting rescued by someone, you're drowning, you don't care what color they are when they rescue you. I watch Bondi Beach sometimes with Kim, and we watch these rescues at the beach. You don't care who rescues you. Does the guy have a tattoo on his neck or not? Is it a man or is it a woman? You don't care. And of course, you're not drowning. You know, you're dead in the bottom of the ocean. You're just bones there, and God makes those bones alive. And, you know, I'm not talking about, I mean, the analogies never seem to work now, do they? What I'm after is this. When you see other people, why don't you see them as soul-bearing people who need to know the gospel of the man, Christ Jesus? That's all you have to do. And when you're at a church, that's how God sees people. That's how you see people. You know, there's not, well, those are white sinners and black sinners and brown sinners. When you're in South Africa, you're either white or black or colored. That's the language that they use. If you're some type of mixture, you're colored. We don't say colored here anymore. It has a bad connotation. But if you are of any color, then that means you're a man or a woman, and you need a sin bearer, or else you will die for your on your behalf of your own sins. That's the issue with all this. Don't let people hijack one Adam, two Adam, first Adam, last Adam. Don't let them bamboozle you, jamming in law into the gospel, that is social justice into the gospel. Think clearly, my friends, and don't get caught up in the wave of I was almost going to give a Pixie song, wave of imagination. Don't get caught up in it all. You need a sin-bearing man, and that's who Jesus is, the eternal God adding human flesh so that he could be a sin-bearer, perfect priest, perfect offer.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbcchurch.org or by phone at 508-835-3400.